News the News. This is a McGill Daily and CKUT collaboration. This Saturday was the 9th annual Memorial March and Vigil for Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women. We spoke to one of the organizers of the march.
So we're here with Monica from the Missing Justice Collective. Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
So can you tell us a little bit about our surroundings right now?
Sure. So we're outside in the rain, outside of Barrie Metro in Montreal, downtown. And I'd say there's about maybe 300 people gathered here waiting for the march to start. But there's many people approaching, lots of umbrellas. Lots of people anticipating a great time, I hope.
Can you give us a little bit of context about the march?
Sure. So the Memorial March for Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women was started by Bridget Tolley, whose mother was killed. Her mother's name was Gladys Tolley. Her mother was killed on a highway by Quebec police officers. And after the killing of her mother, she started this march because she became aware that this issue is affecting Indigenous women all over Canada. And so she wanted to have a day where it marked the missing Indigenous women specifically, and not just women in general, but to say that this is an issue that is affecting Indigenous women more than any other women in Canada, and that that's important to signify. So this march in Montreal is our 9th Memorial March here. And tomorrow there'll be another march in Ottawa, which Bridget is organizing. Last year we had 120 marches happen across Canada, and we also had marches happen in 6 different countries. So we're definitely expecting and hoping that that number will rise this year, and pretty excited about what's going to happen today.
Can you talk a little bit about how the march has changed and transformed over the years since it began?
Sure. I mean, the first year that we had a march in Montreal, we probably had close to 30 people come out. You know, it was a very humble gathering of people, and we were all out to say that this is important. And since then, I think that this issue has gained a lot of space in the public media, in people, a lot more attention has been brought to it over the years. The fact that we have 300 gathered just at the beginning and that more will be coming to us is significant. I think that has a lot to do with the different movements that have happened. You know, the Idle No More movement and the Occupy movement has brought a lot of light to this issue. And since then, the involvement of politicians throughout Canada, most of the premiers are on board for a public inquiry into the missing and murdered Indigenous women in Canada. And I think all of that, it comes together to make this issue more prevalent, more talked about, and hopefully we'll see some changes at the federal level soon.
Do you think a public inquiry is enough?
No, I don't think a public inquiry is enough. I think a public inquiry is just the beginning. When we were organizing this march, we organized this march in Montreal with Quebec Native women this year, and we had a lot of discussion about what our demand was. What was the message we wanted to send to the Harper government? And our message today is that we'd like a public inquiry, but we also want an action plan that involves all the nations in Canada, all the different Indigenous nations that are being affected by this issue. And I think that it won't be until an action plan that's formed alongside and with Indigenous people, and also executed by Indigenous people, I don't think until that happens, we're going to see enough change.
And can you talk a little bit about why this is important and why Indigenous women are disproportionately affected by violence?
Sure. Well, I mean, I think that this issue is important to highlight. I'm a solidarity organizer, so I am not Indigenous myself. I organize because I think that this issue is important to bring awareness to. I think it's really important to me to echo the concerns and the demands of Indigenous women and communities around Montreal, because they're being ignored. And I think that the more people we get on board to echo out that this is important, that we all care as citizens of Canada, as citizens of Turtle Island, we care that these women are going missing. We care and we're paying attention to how many are going missing and where and how, and we're not going to stop until something's done about it. I think that is powerful and really important. So I think that the phenomenon of missing and murdered Indigenous women in Canada goes back to residential schools. It goes back to the colonization of Canada. It's a systemic issue. It's perpetuated by racism, by marginalization, by oppression. I was just at a conference last weekend where there was a panel about the foster care system in Canada, and they were talking about how there are more Indigenous children in foster care today than there were Indigenous children in residential schools. So I think that's significant because it shows us that the colonization of Canada hasn't stopped. And I think that as soon as we take an Indigenous child out of an Indigenous home, we're colonizing them. We're putting our culture on them in a way that hasn't been requested of us. I think when we look at the cases of many of the missing and murdered Indigenous women, we see that things are at play that marginalize and oppress Indigenous women, such as the police system. In many of the cases, the police reports, what the police were, how they were collecting information, how they're treating the communities and the women involved, is horrific. It's really horrific. They're not responding right away. They're not being compassionate to the families. They're not documenting things correctly. So then when it goes to court, it can't follow through court because the facts don't line up. Even in the justice system, we see how these women are being oppressed and how racism is playing out within the justice system. We can look into our prison system where there's more Indigenous women than any other women in the Canadian prison system. And also, I mean, going back to the Harper government, since Harper came into power, he's cut the funding to so many Indigenous organizations and taking the power away from Indigenous people. When he cut the Aboriginal Healing Foundation in 2010, he affected funds that went to over 100 different organizations that were founded and run by Indigenous people, helping other Indigenous people. And I think that that is just one example that his actions over the years has just stated and restated that he doesn't care and he doesn't think this is important. Even when we look back to just this past month in August when Tina Fountain went missing in Manitoba, he continues to say that it's a crime and that we need to treat these things individually. But I just disagree because it's so systematic.
Great. Well, thank you so much for talking to us. Again, we're the McGill Daily. We're here with Monica from Missing Justice. Thank you, Monica.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Bring our sisters home! Bring our sisters home! Bring our-